Okay, good afternoon, everyone. This is Scholars Part Two. We're going to get a presentation from Mr. Piros on Framework 36, and then we're going to take up leasing after that. So, Mr. Piros, whenever you're ready.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Good afternoon, everyone. Jonathan Piros on Council Staff. We are at Part Two of the Scholar Report. I'm going to be providing an update on the 2022 field season, talk a little bit about the projections that the plan development team has completed to date, and give you an outlook on some of the possible management measures in Framework 36. There is no action required by the council on Framework 36 at this meeting, although we are anticipating final action in December, with the goal of having the new specifications in place for April 1st, 2023. The SCULP committee has tasked the plan development team with analyzing options for days at sea and rotational fishing for 2023. I'll explain what we expect to bring back to the committee in October in the next few slides. So just a brief reminder, the status of scallops, it was last assessed in 2020 in the management trap process. As of 2019, the stock was not overfished. Overfishing is not occurring. We did update the reference points at that in that management track assessment. The next research track assessment is scheduled for the spring of 2024. As Dr. Hare noted in his comments yesterday, we're still forming the working group, but we would expect to be spending time on that effort, the research track effort, through the balance of the 2023 calendar year. So four groups completed SCULP survey work across the Mid-Atlantic and Georges Bank earlier this summer. Virginia Institute of Marine Science, SMAST, Cunnamusset Farm Foundation were all funded through the RSA program. National Marine Fisheries Service conducted field work on the research vessel SHARP over that time. SCULPs were surveyed using really two modes, a dredge survey and optical tools. So Cunnamusset Farm Foundation and the Northeast Fisheries Science Center conducts HABCAM surveys. That's a towed camera system that flies along the bottom of the seafloor taking pictures. SMAST has pioneered the drop camera system. They were on the water on Georges Bank and in the Gulf of Maine. And Virginia Institute of Marine Science and the Center Survey also conducted survey dredge work. In 2022, the resource was surveyed using, the entire resource was surveyed using at least a dredge survey and an optical tool. This kind of two-look approach is something that was recommended through the SCULP survey working group as a guiding principle. It's something that we aim to achieve on an annual basis. Some areas had three different kinds of surveys, and I'll talk about those results later on in the presentation. The results of the 2022 field season were presented to the plan development team at a two-day meeting down in Falmouth, Massachusetts at the end of August. All of the groups are presenting their data in a standardized format, which is greatly appreciated. It's all available on the council's website, particularly for the last SCULP committee meeting. So if folks are interested in any of the individual surveys, there's a wealth of information on our website. I'd be happy to direct you to it after the presentation. So moving north to the Gulf of Maine, it's an area that has had a fair amount of survey work in recent years. SMAST conducted a drop camera survey after the Northern Gulf of Maine's fishing year was completed. The coverage included Platts Bank, Ipswich Bay, Jeffrey's Ledge, and the Stellwagen Bank region, which includes Stellwagen Bank in the Northern Gulf of Maine management unit that's north of 4220, an area inside the Western Gulf of Maine closed area that's also a DHRA south of 4220, and some open bottom areas north of Provincetown that we think about as the Gulf of Maine. The survey time series in the Gulf of Maine is growing. 2021 marked the first time that biomass from this area was estimated and included as part of the OFL and the ABC. We think the drop camera is pretty well suited for the Gulf of Maine compared to some of the towed systems that may encounter fixed gear. This was also a consideration within the guiding principles of the SCULP survey working group. So I'll talk a little bit about results. In the next few slides, I'll be presenting results from the 2022 surveys relative to surveys going back through 2015. What you're seeing on the screen is an area plot. We selected this to show the combined biomass totals for Georges Bank and the Mid-Atlantic over that time period. Georges is shown in blue, the Mid-Atlantic shown in orange. What that means is that really the areas in the Nantucket Lightship region and to the east would be part of Georges Bank, and from Block Island to the west and south would be part of the Mid-Atlantic. Now, I think this graph does a nice job of telling the story that we've been talking about for several years. We had two exceptional year classes, 2012 on Georges Bank, 2013 in the Mid-Atlantic, which dramatically increased biomass, and you see biomass arrive at that peak in 2017. We've seen declines from that high over the last 5 years now, from 2018 through 2022. We can attribute them to a lack of recruitment, large harvest by the fishery, and what appears to be fishing mortality and also natural mortality. I want to dig into that a little bit more and talk about Georges Bank relative to the distinct regions that folks have been operating over this time period. And so the Nantucket Lightship was really the center of where a lot of the recruitment from the 2012 year class had survived. That's shown in blue on this plot, and you can see that biomass increase over time and peak in 2017, and then make a pretty steady decline all the way to 2022, where we're really not seeing much biomass or abundance in that area at all. So a lot of the decline of the sculpt biomass and abundance in the Georges Bank region, I think, can be attributed to declines in the Nantucket Lightship region, predominantly in the Lightship West and in the Lightship South. Other areas that are shown on this plot, closed area 2 region, Georges Bank open, have been fairly constant over that time period. And so that brings us to where we're at right now, and is showing, I think, the distribution of biomass across some of the areas on Georges. So heading south to the Mid-Atlantic, it's a very similar story. The 2013 year class was really what was driving harvest in the Mid-Atlantic Axis area. So that was formerly the Hudson Canyon, Elephant Trunk, and Delmarva areas east of New Jersey, Delaware, the eastern shore of Maryland. What you can see here is this decline in the Mid-Atlantic Axis area. It's not all that surprising given the council's management recommendations, the harvest that have come out of the Mid-Atlantic area. So that area was open to rotational fishing in many years, multiple trips allocated to that area, but open from 2016 through 2021. The area didn't last as long as we thought it would in terms of supporting rotational harvests. And it was mostly that single cohort that was supporting effort across the Mid-Atlantic. Shown in blue is the open bottom. A lot of that biomass comes from the Long Island area, but that's been fairly steady over time between 2015 and 2022. So in this slide, we're showing the projected or the forecasted exploitable biomass. Those are scallops we think you're going to catch with the 4-inch ring. When fishing at a level equivalent to the scallop ACL, which is an F rate, fishing mortality rate of 0.45. Here we're showing Georges Bank in blue, the Mid-Atlantic in orange, and the one gray bar is indicating closed area 2 north or area 2 north. What you might think about is the northern edge inside the HAPC area. The largest concentration of biomass is on eastern Georges Bank, so this includes areas that are available for fishing, as well as that closure up on the northern flank. In the Mid-Atlantic, we expect that the areas that have the largest biomass would be the New York Bight closure, which I'll talk about in a little bit, and the Elephant Trunk at some point in 2023. In terms of open bottom opportunities for the coming fishing year, this graphic suggests that most of the fishing would occur in Georges Bank open areas or in Long Island, so across the Great South Channel, the southern flank, a little bit up on the northern flank, and then, as I mentioned, in Long Island. That's pretty similar to what we had expected and what we've seen so far for this current fishing year. So the outlook for the resource. Biomass in 2022 was the lowest observed since 1999. It was less than a quarter of its peak in 2017. I think we'd attribute this to the extended stretch of below average recruitment that we've seen really since 2013. The 2023 ABC, or ACL, for this fishery will likely be less than 44 million pounds. So for a little bit of context, the ABC was greater than a million pounds for 4 years between 2017 and 2020. It was last in this range back in 2014. One of the things that we've been tracking, we've been working on, we've brought to the Council Science and Statistical Committee is that SCALP forecasts have been overly optimistic in recent years in aggregate. So generally projecting biomass that is in excess of what we find in the following year's survey by 25 to 30%. We think that's an issue that needs to be addressed and we'll continue to work on it. There's some good news on this slide. It's the last bullet. Recruitment in 2022 is the best since it's been since 2015. However, based on the size of those animals and the growth rate of scallops, we wouldn't expect those year classes to be available to the fishery until 2024 or 2025. So shifting gears a little bit, thinking about fishery performance, the plot on the right-hand side here is showing landings per unit of effort for the limited access component in the fishery. This includes both full-time double dredge boats and some of the single drag boats. What we had expected for LPUE in the current fishing year, what came out of the model we used was about 2,400 pounds. Just dividing the number of days used by open area landings to date, LPUE looks like it's been a little bit closer to 2,100 pounds. One of the things that I would look at this graphic or take away from this graphic is that you can sort of, you can see different stanzas of LPUE over this time period. So when you move back to 2011, there were several years where LPUE ranged in the 2,500 pound area. When you get to 2014 and step forward a few years, it's less than 2,000 pounds. It moves back north of that. Open bottom fishing was fairly successful in terms of this metric, and then it's come back down for the past few years, and you can see where we're at in 2022. So next few slides, I'm going to cover details of the surveys and outlook by region. I'm going to start with the Elephant Trunk. That's an area in the mid-Atlantic, in the east of Delaware. The findings of the surveys this year were, I think, a nice surprise for the plan development team. Both the dredge and the optical surveys found a substantial number of two-year-old scallops in the Elephant Trunk area. The 2021 surveys didn't detect these animals. Sometimes we see them in the optical surveys and the pictures. The dredge isn't that great at finding the one-year-olds, but this was definitely welcome news and was not on our radar heading into the 2022 field season. Scallops, when they're at this age and they're in this area, we tend to grow fairly quickly, and so we'd expect that the biomass would double between 2022 and 2023. The committee heard this information and made a recommendation to close this area for 2023 and some of our initial analyses. So not a final decision, but as part of the projection runs, they've asked that this area be considered closed for 2023. I'm going to move north to the New York Bight closure area. This was created last year through Framework 34. The area was closed to protect multiple cohorts that showed potential for growth. The surveys have continued to track these scallops. They're a little bit bigger this year. In the bottom right-hand side of the screen, you can see dredge lane frequencies. So we were showing the survey as well as the commercial. We still think that scallops have growth potential in this area. The other kind of unique thing about adult animals in this New York Bight region is that research out of the Northeast Fisheries Science Center suggests that there's a source sink relationship between scallops, New York Bight, Northern Hudson Canyon, and areas to the south. So when those animals spawn, we have seen recruitment downstream in the Elephant Trunk area in southern parts of the Hudson Canyon in the past. And so we think that the odds of having a recruitment event by protecting these animals are increased, and so the committee has recommended that this be analyzed as a closure, and we'll bring that information back in October. So we can head north and east out to George's Bank. We'll start with the Nantucket Lightship area. This area hasn't seen strong recruitment since 2012. The fishing there has been on that dominant year class. Biomass is down substantially, as I noted before. We think there'd be limited contributions to overall harvest and certainly limited contributions to our legal limits from scallops that were surveyed. The surveys did detect some one-year-old scallops in the Lightship West. They also saw one-year-olds last year, so it seems those animals didn't make it. The committee is thinking about a couple different options in this area, reverting the Lightship North and the South as open bottom. The caveat there is that there is a rotational trip that was allocated to the South. In Framework 34, folks would have the ability to harvest for the first 2 months of the fishing year, first 60 days of the fishing year in the Lightship South, as well as the Lightship Triangle, which has been closed. The other way that the committee was thinking about this area is a potential place for RSA compensation fishing, general category IFQ access area fishing, very similar to the way that closed area one was treated in the last framework. We're going to analyze that, we're going to bring back the results, and we'll be looking for committee input on next steps, the October meeting. In both of those scenarios, Lightship West would be closed. So the next couple slides are going to focus on survey results and projections for George's Bank, really the eastern portion of the closed area 2 region. And by that, I'm talking about closed area 2 north, which is currently a closure, as well as the rotational management units that are that have formed the access area. So the map's really just illustrating how that's been partitioned in recent years. So we've got three different projection areas, three different SAMS areas that can be assembled to create closures or openings. What the committee has recommended is putting those three areas together, closed area 2 east, southwest, and the extension as a single rotational area. The picture on the right-hand side comes from Kunamessett Farm Foundation HABCAM, and you can see a dense aggregation of what we'd call recruits. I think this was interesting. It showed up in an area, a shallower area of closed area 2, where you might not expect to see scallops in these aggregations. We're glad that they were able to share that with us. So for the closed area 2 region, the plot on the left-hand side is showing the results of the HABCAM toad surveys by the Northeast Fisheries Science Center and Kunamessett Farm Foundation. You might need to squint, but the red dots are showing where the larger scallops, so those are animals greater than 75 millimeters, were detected in the annotated images from that work. You can see the density of these dots up in the northern edge area within the area 2 north closure. Adult scallops were also dispersed across the other parts of the rotational area to the south, so really in a band along closed area 2 extension, a small part of the closed area 2 southwest, and then way out to the east out by the Hague line in the southeastern portion. A couple of these areas are being fished this year, so closed area 2 southwest and the extension, those have come together to form the management unit. When we run the projections forward, I just want to note that biomass declines in the southwest and stays about the same in the extension. When you look at the areas that have been closed this year, we're expecting biomass to increase, but there's really, not expecting a big jump or massive increase in biomass in this area year over year. There was a little bit of recruitment detected in the region. Most of it was in the eastern portion of closed area 2 southeast. Looking at the plot in the bottom left-hand side of the screen, so fishing at a level equal to the ACL, at least on their initial run, it looks like you'd expect to harvest about 10 million pounds fishing at F of 0.45 in that area. The committee developed a range of rotational options that target landings between 6 million pounds and about 7.8 million pounds. So one trip at 18,000 pounds per full-time boat, two trips at 10,000 pounds, and then two trips at 12,000 pounds. So coming back towards the Cape, area one. So two optical surveys and a dredge all detected, I think the best news that came back from the 2022 field season, a large year class, really spread out across the closed area one sliver, which is in the northern part of that access area, but also spreading out into parts of the Great South Channel. The length frequencies of that cohort are shown in the bottom left-hand side of the screen. That comes from the SMAS survey. So on average, they're about 50 millimeters in size. You can get a sense of that when you move to the middle of the screen. We've got a picture from the center's dredge survey, so a very large toe that they had in this area. And then the results of the HABCAM survey are shown in the bottom right-hand side of the screen. So you can see the tracks of that vehicle, and then the red dots are representing images that scallops were detected in. The committee's recommending this area is a closure right now. We had estimated well over a billion animals there. Given their size and their growth potential, and the fact that we haven't had strong recruitment in many years, this seemed like an opportunity to close this area and hopefully reap some of the rewards in a few years. But beyond that conversation, we did have a fair amount of discussion about closed area one and how it's being used right now. So it is available for general category IFQ access area fishing at 800 pounds a day and RSA compensation fishing. When we looked at where the general category fleet was operating, we did note that it has been in slightly deeper water outside of the survey areas in closed area one. We think this is an area for improvement. We think that the survey domain should probably be expanded somewhat to capture where the fishery is operating, to note that there are scallops in deeper water that are being harvested. We expect to have some follow-up on survey coverage for 2023, maybe through a couple different channels. So final stop, Northern Gulf of Maine, I guess in the Gulf of Maine as well. Surveys continue to detect the majority of scallop biomass, at least of the surveyed portions in the Gulf of Maine, on Stellwag and Bank. Within the Northern Gulf of Maine Management Unit, that's on Stellwag and north of 4220. You can see the length frequencies. It's really a dominant single cohort that we detected several years ago. The area was closed for a couple of years. It reopened last year. We expect those animals to grow again in the coming season. The committee is recommending a fairly conservative harvest approach that was outlined in Amendment 21. So the committee had recommended F rates of a 0.15 and 0.18 to set the allowable landings for the coming fishing year. The map at the bottom right is showing the distribution of adult scallops across that Stellwagen region. And so, you know, I had mentioned that scallops aren't just showing up north of that boundary, they're dispersed across the bank. And the largest biomass in the northern Gulf, or in the Gulf of Maine right now, is actually inside the western Gulf of Maine closed area. Very brief recap on Amendment 21 measures that went into effect on April 1st of this year. So we increased the IFQ possession limit by 200 pounds and access area trips. It appears vessels have been taking advantage of that. The majority of trips are landing 800 pounds. And the majority of trips have been around a day, 24 hours, some more, some less. One thing that we did note is that the fleet hasn't fully utilized all the trips that were available. I think there's about 230 to go. For the Northern Gulf of Maine, the set aside was set at 621,000 pounds. The area was open for 56 days this season. Average catch was really right at 200 pounds. A lot of the boats staged out of right here in Gloucester. It's where the majority of the landings came in. 106 vessels took trips this season. That was up by about 50 vessels from 2021. We expected that, and that's consistent with the rationale that the council had developed in Amendment 21. There was a fair amount of talk about limited access vessels potentially deciding to fish in the Northern Gulf of Maine as a general category vessel. They can hold both permits. Data shows that there were 4 limited access vessels with general category permits that actually took trips in 2022. So just to summarize, the PDT is going to be working on five different runs for the October committee meeting. This map that Sam put together, I think, does a nice job illustrating what the spatial configuration of the fishery could look like for 2023. So a closure in the Elephant Trunk, closure in New York Bight, closure in closed area one, rotational fishing out to the east in area two. In the area that we're kind of toggling on and off is the Lightship North and Lightship South. We expect to bring back results that would show open area fishing based on F rates, so 0.39, which is the F rate we use to set days at sea for this current fishing year, a 0.45 equal to that of the ACL, and a 0.52, which came from the bridge year back in 2014. And that concludes my presentation.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Piros. So what I'd like to do is go to the council, see if there's any questions for Jonathan on his presentation. Mr. Hughes.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Thank you, Jonathan. Jonathan, could I ask you to refer back to your slide number 18? And although I've seen this presentation three times in the last week, I think I might have missed something. I think I heard you reference that there's an estimated 1 billion animals in this area. Did I hear that correctly?
Yeah, you did. So that's the average of the three surveys. The dredge survey thought there were about 3 billion animals there. The drop camera thinks there's about a billion, and the hab cam a little less than that. So,
great. Thank you. Did miss that. Thanks.
Anyone else from the council? Anyone from the public? Mr. Piros? Oh, hang on. I see a hand up. I'm sorry, I don't know your name, and it's hard for me to see who's who, so don't take any offense. I don't know my own name half the time, so.
Gary Hatch, I was here. I just wanted to touch on the Gulf of Maine. This is a very good illustration of our grow-out areas. It doesn't touch on the biomass and the reproduction part of Gulf of Maine. And I come up just so we get this to light, that in the early 70s, we had a massive grow-out fully down across the Gulf of Maine that ended up in this same area with what results we're seeing today. However, I think what my point would be is we're missing out on a very large part of our whole overall fishery, meaning the Great South Channel, the Northern Edge, that we could be benefiting from if we better manage the Gulf of Maine. We've missed one spot, Phippenies, which is loaded, but it's in the closed area for groundfish, and that takes us back to why we're here, because that's where we all started, is a groundfish closure, rebuild our fishery. So I guess in my two cents would be is that I'd like to see more money appropriated to do better survey work in the Gulf of Maine and catalog just how it really works so that we can benefit from it. Thank you.
Anyone else from the public with a question? Seeing none, back to the council. Ms. Griffin? Okay, are you all set, Jonathan?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Okay, so Ms. Griffin, I'm gonna turn it over to you. See if we have any action.
I think not. I have nothing on Framework 36, but I think this brings us to Sam presenting on the leasing.
Okay, all right. Very good. So now we're going to talk about